up, everyone? Welcome to the Gridiron Fantasy Football Podcast for Friday, November 27th, 2020. And I'm Chip, and I'm your host, and thank you so much for listening today. If you're a new listener, thank you so much for joining us as well. If you'd like to share our podcast, you can find us over on Apple and Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, and Amazon Music. If you'd like to watch us, you can watch us over on YouTube at Gridiron Fantasy Football. So please do me a favor, hit subscribe, support the show, hit the bell so you don't miss any more episodes. And on today's episode, we're going to talk about all of the Week 12 matchups, all the rest of them for that matter, and then also my starts and sits. But I hope everyone is having a good Thanksgiving. I'm recording this before any of the games, so I don't know the outcomes yet for the Thanksgiving games. But one game that we do know about that changed was the Steelers versus the Ravens. So a lot of controversy going around about what's going on with Baltimore. Baltimore had a crazy amount of cases, both from players and personnel this past week. And they had to postpone the game from Thursday night on Thanksgiving to Sunday at 1:15. It's going to be actually showed on NBC. So, you know, just one of those things where if you looked at Twitter and some of the Pittsburgh Steelers, they're super frustrated with the situation. You know, this is the second time a game had been postponed or changed because of the breakout of COVID. But rightfully so. I mean, you know, you make plans with family. You obviously they play on Thanksgiving, so they can't be with family on Thanksgiving. And then things get adjusted to where maybe they're trying to do something over the weekend because they had a long weekend before the next game. And now the Steelers and Ravens have the Ravens have to play on Thursday night the following week. And then, you know, the Steelers do still get enough time to rest, but they're missing 3 days of rest they would have gotten if they played on Thanksgiving night. So definitely very frustrating, but I'm not going to cover that game. I already covered that game in the last episode. So if you wanted to see that episode or my starts and sits for that game, go back to my Thanksgiving Day edition preview of the games on Thanksgiving. But also, too, what changes in this game is that Gus Edwards was going to be the starter because of J.K. Dobbins and Mark Ingram being, you know, out because of COVID. Now there's a chance that they can play on Sunday since the game got moved back. So if you're starting Gus Edwards, you got to be very careful on if Mark Ingram or J.K. Dobbins or both are active, because if that's the case, you can't start Gus Edwards. I mean, you're going to have to go back to J.K. Dobbins being the lead back on that backfield. So just something you have to monitor, something you have to see, you know, when the inactives and actives come out, you know, around 11:30, 12 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. So just something to look out for. But if you want to check out that preview of that game, just go back to my last YouTube video. And so let's go right into the starts and sits for week 12. And I'm going to start off with the Raiders versus the Falcons. The Las Vegas Raiders are favored by 3 points in this game. The over-under is 54 points. This is going to be a very interesting game because, you know, right now as a start, I have Matt Ryan as a starter. I have Derek Carr as a starter at quarterback. But that is pending if Julio Jones plays. We know Julio Jones is going to be a game-time decision. If Julio Jones does not play, Matt Ryan becomes a boom-bust candidate. I can't trust him. We saw what it was like in those 3 games without Julio Jones at the beginning of the season. And I think they went like 9 or 10 quarters without a touchdown. So I think that you have to be very careful if you're going to start Matt Ryan if Julio Jones is out. But if Julio Jones is playing, hopefully he doesn't re-aggravate his hamstring. Hopefully that he'll be able to play the full game, which obviously gives, you know, upside to, you know, Calvin Ridley, to Hayden Hurst, and the rest of the Falcons offense as a whole. But when it comes to running back, I'm going to play Josh Jacobs, obviously Todd Gurley. This is a tough one. He's dealing with the knee ailment right now, and I do have Todd Gurley as an RB2, but, you know, as of right now, practice reports, we're at that part of the week where, you know, a lot of veterans get that time off, so we'll see what his full participation is on Friday and Saturday and with the reports that come out. But at wide receiver, you're going to play Calvin Ridley. I think, like I said, if Julio Jones plays, I think that the upside of Calvin Ridley is there. If not, I feel like Calvin Ridley could have a mediocre game. But that's just based on what we've seen so far with when Julio Jones is not playing. At tight end, you're going to play Darren Waller. I think Hayden Hurst, you can play him. I think even with Julio Jones not playing, I think Hayden Hurst does obviously benefit from that. But I do think that he becomes a safety net for Matt Ryan. But the thing is that Hayden Hurst is dealing with the ankle injury. He was limited in practice so far this week. So hopefully that's just like veterans rest type of thing and he gets to play on Sunday. But just something to monitor just in case. And at my boom bust candidates for this game, I have Brian Hill as this for the Falcons because we don't know how Todd Gurley is going to be. We don't know the workload for him, but if you're really desperate looking for a running back, I do have Brian Hill and Devontae Booker as boom bust candidates because they still get involvement with the offense. It's just, are they going to get the right opportunity at the goal line? Or are they going to break off a big play? It's just really hard to determine that. It's all probability, so it's harder to figure that out. At wide receiver, I have Nelson Agholor as this as well. You know, Nelson Agholor has having a decent season, but does he do decent for you in fantasy when you start him? That's the case of just trying to be the definition of boom bust. But he's definitely a guy that if you're desperate and you need, like, there's no bye weeks this week, so you should have your full roster. I mean, obviously, unless you're dealing with injury, but Nelson Agholor is a boom bust, and so is Russell Gage. Russell Gage is here if Julio Jones is not going to play. So if you need a pivot somewhere and you're looking for a player in this game, Russell Gage may be the guy that you try to go to. But like I said, if Julio Jones is out, I downgrade everybody on that Falcons offense. So just be careful, you know, and have low expectations if that's the case. And then going on to the Chargers versus the Buffalo Bills. Now the Chargers, the Bills are favored in this game by 5.5 points. The over-under is 53. And what I'm going to, my must start for this game is Josh Allen, Justin Herbert. Now I have a question mark here for Austin Eckler. We know that he is, you know, he's returned to practice on a limited basis on Wednesday. Now, hopefully he's healthy enough to play on Sunday. So if that's the case, I think you have to start Austin Eckler. I think that you have to be very wary and, you know, cautiously optimistic about what he's going to give you in fantasy because it's his first game back in a couple months. So definitely a guy you want to play because he's definitely a huge, huge boost to your roster. But just a question mark just in case. And then Keenan Allen, you're playing Stephon Diggs, and you're playing Hunter Henry. Those are my must starts in this game. When it comes to the flex, I have Zach Moss as a flex in this game. He's been seeing more snaps than Devin Singletary. Zach Moss, I believe, is now the Buffalo Bills starting running back, so I think he has some decent flex appeal. Kalen Ballage is here, but that's only if Kalen Ballage is a flex if Austin Eckler doesn't play. I don't have him higher than that because I think that just the workload, I think the way that they rely on the passing game right now, because Justin Herbert has been tearing it up, I think they still become a pass-heavy, you know, offense, but Kalen Ballage does still have appeal because he does get a workload. And then same thing for Mike Williams. Mike Williams, you know, if he didn't break a tackle last game, he wouldn't have had a touchdown and he wouldn't have had such a good fancy outing. So I do think that Mike Williams does have appeal here just because he's Mike Williams. He's very talented. And when it comes to a boom bust, I have Cole Beasley here. You know, Cole Beasley has been very good the last few weeks. He's had a very, you know, very good last couple of weeks. And I think that if you're in a PPR format, I think he can be a wide receiver 3 or a flex here. So something that you can consider against the Chargers defense because their attention is going to go on Stephon Diggs. And we don't know exactly if John Brown's going to play. Like, even when John Brown played, there was a game that Cole Beasley had. He was like the number one wide receiver for the week. And then the next week, John Brown. So it's just hard to determine who's going to be the guy that Josh Allen goes to. So that's not Stephon Diggs, but just a, like I said, just a boom bust candidate. And you're sitting Devin Singletary. I don't think Devin Singletary, he's almost a drop candidate for me. Devin Singletary is not a guy that I feel like you can trust. You know, he doesn't deliver the upside that he once did. You know, he had a very good rookie season when it came to like being that running back by committee type of player, but he's not a workhorse type of running back. So I think that if you have Devin Singletary, I think you can find a better option than him. So you're going to sit him. Then moving on to the Giants versus the Bengals. Now the Giants are favored in this game by 6 points and over-under is 44. In this game, I think that Daniel Jones, he becomes a decent streamer for this game. I think that, you know, because of how bad the Bengals defense is, I think that Daniel Jones could have a decent streamer type of game this week. You know, Giovanni Bernard's a starter. However, he's in the concussion protocol. He had limited practice on Wednesday and Thursday. So I think that, you know, that's encouraging that he's gained some participation in practice in. But they don't play games with the concussion. So there's a chance that Samaje Perine could start. But like I said, we should have more answers. And I always do my YouTube video on Saturday of all the ins and outs for the week and then people you can pivot to. So I'm always going to do an updated video of that on Saturday on YouTube. So just check that out just so you have all the latest information when it comes to that. And then I think obviously Wayne Gallman's a good start here. He's more of an RB2 for me though. And then at tight end, you can play Evan Engram. As a flex, Tyler Boyd, he's a flex. I think everybody on the Bengals offense takes a massive downgrade with Joe Burrow being out with a torn ACL and MCL. So I think Tyler Boyd is right now is the safest person to play because he does play the slot. So I do think that he can be a guy that could do decent for you this week. Same for Darius Slayton. I think he has some flex appeal here as well. When it comes to boom bust, I mentioned it before, it's Samaje Perine. If Giovanni Bernard is out, I think Samaje Perine has some appeal here because of workload. Now, however, the Giants are a sneaky good team. Like, I know their record doesn't indicate that. I know that they've had some ups and downs this year, but they're actually playing a lot better football right now. So I'm not saying that if Giovanni Bernard, you go and get Samaje Perine and start him over someone else, but I think that if you're in a pinch, that could be a decent play. And then boom bust, here's T. Higgins. He's been my guy all year. I've loved T. Higgins on my roster, but he's now on my bench because I don't know what's going to happen with Brandon Allen. I have no idea how he's going to play, what the upside is going to be. So right now, T. Higgins is a almost borderline droppable player because of the unknown of Brandon Allen. So hopefully we see some encouraging things out of the Bengals on Sunday. But as a sit players, you're going to have Brandon Allen here and then A.J. Green. You can't trust the quarterback for a Bengals team that you have no idea, you know, how he's going to play, how this offense is going to look with Joe Burrow not there. I mean, the Bengals were at they had the most pass attempts per game. And I can't imagine they're going to trust Brandon Allen with that many pass attempts. So it's going to be a very different looking Bengals team going forward, but you can't start him. You can't start A.J. Green. And then moving on to the Titans versus the Colts. The Colts are favored by 3 points and is an over-under 51. Now, you can start Ryan Tannehill and Phillip Rivers in two quarterback leagues. When it comes to one quarterback leagues, these guys are very on the fringe of being QB1s. I think that it's a very tough matchup for Ryan Tannehill. We saw this game a couple weeks ago on Thursday night where it just wasn't the offense they were looking for from the Titans. So just be very cautiously optimistic about the Ryan Tannehill and the Titans offense as a whole. You still start Derrick Henry. You're going to start Jonathan Taylor. He's more of an RB2. You know, there's concern about why Jordan Wilkins and Nyheim Hines were getting more carries and more opportunities. But last week, Jonathan Taylor had over 20 carries. So I think that you can start him as an RB2. You have to start AJ Brown. You know, I benched AJ Brown last week. It almost cost me because I was trying to be too cute with matchups. And A.J. Brown, even though he only had one catch for 21 yards in the first game against the Colts, he's too beastly of a receiver to not play him. I mean, there was opportunities where he could have had a better game. He just dropped a lot of passes that game. So I think A.J. Brown could have a better game against the Colts the second time around. And then at tight end, you can play Jonnu Smith. He's a fringe tight end one for me, but like I said, he's too talented not to play. And at the flex, you're going to play Nyheim Hines. I think this is a good flex option. Corey Davis, we saw Corey Davis have a better game than A.J. Brown in the first meeting, so I think Corey Davis has some flex appeal here. And then Michael Pittman Jr., I think, has some pretty decent flex appeal as well. For boom bust candidates, I have T.Y. Hilton. You know, it was good that we saw him have 6 targets last game, but he only had 3 receptions, so be pretty wary about T.Y. Hilton going forward. And then Trey Burton. Trey Burton's my favorite tight end on the Colts, but I think there's better options out there if you really need it. But Trey Burton, if you're in a pinch, is the guy that I'll pick over Mo'Ali Cox and Jack Doyle. And then moving on to the Panthers versus the Vikings. Minnesota is favored by 3.5 points. This is an over-under of 51. In this game, I think Kirk Cousins is a pretty decent streamer in this game. Teddy Bridgewater, he's more, you know, if you have to play him in two quarterback leagues, but if you're in a one quarterback league, I'm not playing Teddy Bridgewater on a week where he had an injury and then he's come back from injury. I don't like the risk. And I think if there's better options out there in a one quarterback league, I'm going to go with that. But you're kind of hand-tied if you have to in two quarterback leagues because, you know, you need the upside of having a second quarterback. At running back, you're obviously playing Dalvin Cook. You're playing Mike Davis. At wide receiver, I have Adam Thielen here. You're going to play him if he's obviously clear from the COVID protocol. So if he is, he should be able to play. There's been enough days in between the time that he got positive for a test because he had a positive test and a negative test. So we don't know exactly how he's going to be going forward for this game. But obviously, if he's active, you're playing him. You're playing Justin Jefferson. You're playing DJ Moore. And you're playing Robbie Anderson. At the flex, I think Curtis Samuel continues to have flex appeal here. He's a guy that has been pretty consistent the last, 4 weeks. So I think that in totality, I think Curtis Samuel is a good flex play. And no boom busts in this game. And then from a tight end standpoint, you're not playing any tight end. I don't think there's any upside with the tight ends that are available in this game. And then going on to the Dolphins versus the Jets. Miami is favored by 7 points. Is the over under 44.5. Now you're going to start Tua. Now Tua is dealing with a thumb issue. He did have a limited practice on Thursday. So that means that he should be, he did injure it in practice. It's his thumb on his throwing hand. So he should be good to go. But you play him in a two quarterback league, not in a one quarterback league. Now, Salvin Ahmed, he's been dealing with the injury as well. He didn't really have much participation in practice this week. So he could be inactive, which means that if he is, I think Matt Breida is the guy that it's more of a boom bust. I don't think he's a must start. I think he's more of a boom bust because we just don't know how they're going to rotate the backs out. But I think Breida does have enough appeal there where if you have Ahmed and you need a running back, Breida may be the guy you have to pivot to. At wide receiver, you're going to play Devontae Parker. At tight end, I think Mike Gesicki, he is a fringe tight end one. He didn't have a very good game the first game against the Jets, but I do think if Tua is the quarterback, I think that that's his safety valve. So I think Mike Gesicki could have a better game this time around. And then at the flex, Frank Gore's here. This is a low-end flex. I mean, LaMichael Pirine, he's injured. So obviously the workload goes to Frank Gore. So he could get you a decent, you know, PPR outing. He gets the goal line carry. So hopefully there's some opportunities for this offense to kind of be decent against this Miami Dolphins defense. At wide receiver at the flex, I think Jameson Crowder is a decent play here. He's always been good in PPR. Rashad Perriman, he's had 3 touchdowns in the last, you know, 2 games. So I think that this is a decent flex play if you need the upside. Like I said, boom bust for this game is Matt Breida. And when you're going to sit Joe Flacco and Sam Darnold. I think that, you know, if you're in two quarterback leagues, you may have to make that decision. But the Dolphins defense is really good. They're very, very underrated. And I think that this can be a very ugly game for the Jets overall. And you're going to sit Denzel Mims and you're going to sit tight end Chris Herndon in this game. Like I said, I think Sam Darnold is better than Joe Flacco. Sam Darnold should be active for this game. However, I want to see how Sam Darnold does with all of his weapons. Everyone criticizes him a lot because he's not been doing well. But I think that it's hard to do anything when you don't have the talent around you. So the fact of the matter is, I think that it would be nice to see how Sam Darnold does now having full slate of weapons, all of his receivers around him. So very interesting kind of intel type of situation there. And then moving on to the Browns versus the Jags. The Cleveland Browns are favored by 7 points and over-under is 49. In this game, you're starting Baker Mayfield. I think Baker Mayfield has good stream appeal. If you're in a two quarterback league, a very good matchup for Baker Mayfield. I know he has not been doing well the last 3 games. He's been in single digits the last 3 games. The Browns are very run heavy offense. However, I still think that if you're in a two quarterback league, you still have to play him because there's enough there to be able to warrant that he should get you a decent game, hopefully 2 touchdowns. At running back, you're going to play James Robinson, Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt. There's no way that you can bench these guys. These guys are just been a force all season. So I think that this is a decent play for the running backs. At tight end, I think Austin Hooper is a decent play here. You know, he's been a guy that's been kind of disappointed. You know, the first game back, he only had like 1 catch. Last week, he had, I think, 2 or 3 catches. So hasn't done a whole lot, but that's hard when you have a run heavy offense. But Austin Hooper definitely is a decent play at tight end this week. At the flex, I do have DJ Chark here just because he's been limited in practice due to an injury. So with that being the case, this could be very ugly. I know James Robson is a must start in this game because he's a top five running back right now. But you got Mike Glennon starting at quarterback. You know, DJ Chark could be hurt. This Jags offense, they don't have really much a lot of opportunities to score. So I think that the whole downgrade of this offense legit. For the Browns, I think flex options is Jarvis Landry. Obviously, Jarvis Landry is the number one receiver right now for the Cleveland Browns. So you have to play him. He's going to get the targets. And then boom bust for this game is Rashard Higgins. I think that when we saw OBJ go down, Rashard Higgins was that guy that people were feeling like on the waiver wire that he's a guy that's going to take that number two role. Hasn't really done much, but I think that he's still a wide receiver that could have a decent target share. So definitely a guy that you're in deeper, like 16-team leagues and deeper rosters that you may have to play him. Like I said, you're going to sit Mike Glennon and you're going to sit Keelan Cole. I am a guy that I rather... There are people out there that are going to play, like for example, so today, you know, Jordan Akins played, so the Texans played the Lions, and Jordan Akins had a very good game against the Patriots the week before. But there's going to be people who picked up Jordan Akins because of that, and they played him, and they got nothing out of them today. So like, you never want to, when there's been guys who haven't been doing things consistently through the whole entire season, it's very hard for you to want to start those guys when you're competing for a playoff spot. So if you had played Jordan Akins, you're probably disappointed because you got nothing out of him. But the same thing for like Keelan Cole and Mike Glennon and like some of these offensive weapons for the Jags is that I think the safest player is James Robinson. But what's the upside there? James Robinson, if they know they can't throw the ball on him, you know, if the Browns know that all they have to do is just stack the box and stop James Robinson, they force you to throw. Like, I just don't see the upside being there. So I think that you have to take that into consideration and not just play. I know Keelan Cole has been decent this year, but I want to see what the offense looks like with Mike Glennon. You know, hopefully Gardner Minshew comes back at some point. But Mike Glennon for me is like a, that's a tough one because you don't want to, you know, you probably have no choice to play DJ Chark, right? You drafted him in your league. He's been decent, you know, overall, but quarterback play definitely takes a huge hit on players. So just have low expectations. Now moving on to the Cardinals versus the Patriots. The Cardinals are favored by 2 points. It's over under 49.5. Now, obviously, you're going to start Kyler Murray, Cam Newton. Kenyon Drake is here. He's an RB2 for me this week. Obviously, you're playing DeAndre Hopkins. At the flex, I think James White now becomes a good flex option with Rex Burkhead out. Damien Harris is a flex for me, and so is Jakobi Meyers. These are the guys that we know have a say in what goes, not a say, but like we know that they're involved in this offensive game plan, right? We know that James White's always going to be the third down back. He's going to catch a lot of passes. We know Damien Harris is the running back who's got the most of rush attempts, and we know Jakobi Meyers is the target share leader right now for the Patriots. So we know there's opportunity there, so you have to go with the opportunity. So I think flex options here are what they are. For boom bust candidates, Chase Edmonds is here. Chase Edmonds, the guy that could get you a random touchdown here and there. He's involved in offense enough where there's opportunity there, but you obviously have to have low expectations. Now, Christian Kirk, he's a boom bust for me. He had a stretch of games where he was doing pretty well. In the last few games, he has not. But Larry Fitzgerald is now out of this game because of COVID, so that gives Christian Kirk more opportunity there. So I think that, you know, Christian Kirk could be a decent upside player this week. But when it comes to sits, I don't have nobody that you would sit in this game. Most players that you would consider in fantasy, you're going to play to some capacity. Now moving on to the Saints versus the Broncos. The Saints are favored in this game by 6 points, and the over-under is 43.5. When it comes to starts in this game, you're starting Taysom Hill, you're going to start Alvin Kamara, and you're going to start Noah Fant and Michael Thomas. Like, these are the guys that you know for sure you're going to start. You know, Taysom Hill obviously has appeal here because he's that gadget quarterback right now. The only problem is that he is now going to take a lot of... Now, it was only one game sample size for what happened to Alvin Kamara, but Alvin Kamara had no catches, which was the first time he went with the game with no catches. He only had like one target. So the problem is that Taysom Hill is the type of quarterback that he's looked at on his first option. It's not there, and then he's going to run. Like, that seems to be what's going on. Hopefully they have a better game plan against the Broncos where they do implement Alvin Kamara as a receiver more, like we're usually accustomed to seeing. But just a little bit concerned if we see another game where Alvin Kamara does not gain any catches. When it comes to, there's no really flex options here in this game. A lot of players I have on this for the Broncos are boom bust candidates. I mean, Melvin Gordon and Phillip Lindsay continue to be boom bust for me because these are guys that shared the backfield. And the only difference last week with Phillip Lindsay to Melvin Gordon is that Melvin Gordon had the two touchdowns. So I think that they are decent plays in the sense if you really need that upside in a sense of like just someone to get points from. Because I know that you'll get points, but this Saints defense is pretty tough. So if I could find someone else to play, I would. And at wide receiver for the Broncos, I think Jerry Jeudy and Tim Patrick are both boom bust candidates here. I think Marcus Lattimore, the corner for the Saints, will be back in this game, which obviously will take out probably Jerry Jeudy, which would give Tim Patrick a decent look. But the problem is, you know, Janoris Jenkins is on the other side of the ball too. So they're not slouches at corner. So I think that you have to have low expectations this week. And you're going to sit Drew Lock and you're going to sit Jared Cook. I mean, Jared Cook is one of those guys where you just have to have everything has to line properly. And because Taysom Hill is the quarterback, I just can't see Jared Cook getting the opportunity. So a lot of downgrades for the Saints when it comes to just Taysom Hill and his skill set and what he likes doing. So just be very careful on when you make these decisions going forward for the next couple of weeks, because you know, I miss Drew Brees because I'm an Alvin Kamara owner, and I miss Drew Brees because when Drew Brees is there, I know he's not mobile, and I know like he's Alvin Kamara is the check down option for Drew Brees, and it just sucks to see like that not be the case with Taysom Hill. So just me being, you know, frustrated with that, but that's his fantasy football. And then going on to the 49ers versus the Rams. The Rams are favored in this game by 6.5 points, and the over-under is 45.5. Now, in this game, you're going to start Jared Goff. I think that he showed enough against the Bucs where I think he'd be comfortable playing him. I think that he is more of a fringe QB1, but I think that there's enough weapons out there. And the 49ers defense has a lot of holes right now, so I think that Jared Goff could have a decent game. You're obviously starting Cooper Kupp. You're starting Robert Woods at the flex. It depends if he's active. I think Raheem Mostert goes back to being obviously the starter, so I think he has a decent flex appeal here. Daryl Henderson, he's a flex here just because he gets the majority of the carries, but you're starting to see, like, especially on Monday night, it's a situational thing for them. So Daryl Henderson gets majority of the carries, and then third down, Malcolm Brown's in. Sometimes you see Cam Akers in. So, like I said, the upside there for all those running backs is very hard to determine. Like I said, but like with boom bust, like I guess I have Malcolm Brown here. I have Cam Akers here just because of that situation, because one of them could fall in the end zone, and hopefully is one of the guys that you play in that week, you know, in your flex. But at wide receiver, I got Brandon Ayuk. If he's back off the COVID list, I think he's a decent option. It all depends if Debo Samuel's back too. You know, if he's back, I think Debo Samuel obviously is the one you want to go with, but we don't know completely all the inactives right now. And then Jordan Reed, I think at tight end is a decent matchup. I think Jordan Reed is a very good safety outlet for Nick Mullins. So I think, you know, Jordan Reed could have some decent appeal there at the tight end. And when it comes to the player you're sitting right here, only person I have on this list is Nick Mullins. You're not going to play Nick Mullins against this Rams defense. Like, absolutely not. That's just going to make you have a bad day overall on Sunday. And then going on to the Chiefs versus the Bucks. The Chiefs are favored by 3.5 points, which I feel like that's too low. I feel like the Chiefs should be favored by more than that. But the over-under is 54, so they're expecting a shootout in this game. You know, Patrick Mahomes, I know that you're obviously starting him. I know that he didn't have like a huge, massive game against the Raiders on you know, week 11, but and people kind of compared, like, well, we saw what Patrick Mahomes was able to do, you know, the two games against the Raiders, he struggled, you know, whatever you, quote unquote, what you think what struggling means, but Patrick Mahomes is going against a defense like the Bucs, who are a decent, they're a decent group. Like, they're not a slouch, but you know, I just think the Chiefs have way too many weapons. I think the Chiefs are going to roll against the Bucks. It's just one of those things where it's just a better, the Chiefs are just a way better team. Oh, Tom Brady had a bad, and you start him in this game because of the, you know, I think obviously it's, you know, the Bucks have a decent offense as well, but Tom Brady did not look good on Monday night. You know, it's concerning that he's throwing, you know, interceptions and all that, but you still can't waver from him from a fantasy standpoint. But at running back, you're going to play Clyde Edwards-Helaire. We've seen that Le'Veon Bell is just really, he's not as involved as we thought. He didn't take enough away from Clyde Edwards-Helaire for us to be concerned about Clyde Edwards-Helaire going forward. So I think that, you know, the only downside about Clyde Edwards-Helaire this week is the Bucs are like number two in rush defense. So expect them to shut that out, which will give a lot more opportunities to the passing game because the Bucs are awful against the pass. So I can see Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce just having massive games this game. But on the Bucs side of the ball, you're going to play Ronald Jones. I think he's a guy that, you know, it's interesting to see how they're determining how they play Fournette and Jones. So I think you still have to play Ronald Jones. At wide receiver, you're, like I said, you're playing Tyreek Hill, you're playing Chris Godwin, you're playing Mike Evans. And at tight end, you're definitely playing Travis Kelce and you're going to play Gronk. In the flex, I think you're going to, you know, Antonio Brown, he becomes a decent flex because he's seen a lot of targets. He had 13 targets on Monday night. So, you know, you definitely want to go with that. And he's the perfect person that Brady needs to be able to get the ball out quick. You know, if you start putting pressure on Brady, you start giving up, you know, dropping back and passing and, you know, you get too much pressure on Brady, that's when he makes mistakes. So the Bucs need to go with a game plan that gets the ball out of Brady's hands quick. And Antonio Brown, continues to be the beneficiary from that. And then at my boom bust candidate, I have Leonard Fournette here. You know, Leonard Fournette, like I said, he's the third down back. He's been getting some of the goal line carries, so he could fall in the end zone like he did on Monday night. But like I said, I wouldn't guarantee that every single week. So you have to be careful on how you, you know, how you start Leonard Fournette going forward. And when you were and relying on Leonard Fournette going forward. Now we'll move on to the Sunday night football game. We got the Bears versus the Packers. You know, the Packers are obviously favored in this game. The over-under is 45 points. Now, you're going to start Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is going against a pretty tough defense. You know, Aaron Rodgers has been pretty consistent. The only bad game he really had was against the Bucs. But the Bears are, you know, they're a division rival. You know, these division games go different ways all the time. So things that you expect to happen usually don't. But I still think, obviously, you have to start Aaron Rodgers. You're starting Aaron Jones. Now, David Montgomery's back from the concussion protocol. So he should be able to, he's a good start this week. You know, obviously, you're dealing with the Packers defense that just does not have a good rushing defense. So David Montgomery is a decent play here this week. Obviously, you're playing Davante Adams. You're playing Allen Robinson. I don't have anybody here as a flex. But at the boom bust category, I do have Jamal Williams. You know, Jamal Williams is involved enough where he could get you a touchdown and some receptions. Allen Lazard, I think, is a decent boom bust here because I think that we're going to see the Packers really try to get him in involved a little bit more and more. So hopefully this is a game where he gets a little more snaps and opportunities. At tight end, Robert Tonyan and Jimmy Graham are both boom busts for me. They're on the outside of my tight end one rankings this week. So I think that, you know, any given point, these guys could get touchdown passes, right? But it's not consistent. So you just got to be aware of that. And you're going to sit Nick Foles or Mitchell Trubisky because these guys are still injured. Now, Mitchell Trubisky is practicing. I believe he was full participant this week. So I think that he's leaning towards being the starter while Nick Foles is dealing with a hip injury. But, it's, you know, Mitchell Trubisky, this is going to be very interesting on how this goes forward because Nick Foles has not been good, right? And Mitchell Trubisky definitely gives you a different dynamic for this offense where he has opportunity to run the ball. You know, he definitely loves Allen Robinson. So I think that there's going to be some upside if Mitchell Trubisky is the starter again. But we'll have to wait and see. And then the last game of the week is the Monday Night Football game, the Seahawks versus the Eagles. Now, the Seahawks are favored by 5 points, and this is an over-under 50 points. Now, obviously, the must-starts in this game are Russell Wilson. I do have Carson Wentz here, right? I still want to believe in Carson Wentz. I still want to believe that he is having a bad season, but the Seahawks are such a bad pass defense that I want to trust that because of that, because of the matchup, because of the weapons, he may get Zach Ertz back. So if the Eagles get Zach Ertz back, this is another, that's his safety net. And that's another player that you add to this roster that has a lot of talent. So I do think that Carson Wentz could be that fringe player this week just because of the matchup. At running back, you're starting Miles Sanders. Now, for the Seahawks, we still don't know the stats for Chris Carson. So if Chris Carson is active, obviously you're playing him. But if not, Carlos Hyde is a good option here as well. At wide receiver, you're going to play Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf. Those are the must starts. At the flex, I really do think that Jalen Reagor now should be considered a flex. I think this could be the breakout game for Jalen Reagor because the Seahawks are so bad defending the pass. He's gaining the target share. I think that this could be the game we see Jalen Reagor actually break out finally in his rookie season. So hopefully you picked him up. Hopefully he's not a guy that you're trying to get on your waiver wire if he does blow up. Hopefully you already were smart enough to pick him up and you're stashing him on your bench. And then boom bust wise, Travis Fulgham's here, right? Travis Fulgham, he's almost non-existent, you know, because of the opportunities of, you know, the target share and all that. I just think it's Jalen Reagor. You know, if Zach Ertz is back, you know, Zach Ertz is going to take, you know, a lot of that away. And Dallas Goedert, he's going to be the guy that, you know, is going to get the target as well. With Miles Sanders being a pass catching running back, I just think Travis Fulgham is now a guy that you can probably drop. He's not a guy that you can trust and play. So those are all my starts and sits for week 12. Now, if you have any questions, you can always leave a comment below on YouTube. And I respond to everybody that leaves a comment. I try to give you all the advice I can to kind of help you with who you should start and sit. But if you have any questions, please leave a comment below. But that's it for today. You know, thank you so much for listening today. Now come back and join us on Monday when I react to all of the week 12 matchups and all the fantasy studs. But if you'd like to follow us on social media, you can find us over on Facebook and Twitter at the Gridiron Pod. You can find us on Instagram at Gridiron Fantasy Football. So don't forget to hit subscribe so you don't miss any more episodes either on the podcast or on YouTube. So Hope you had a very good Thanksgiving. And I hope that you're able to get this win this week so you get that one inch closer next to being in the playoffs. But we will see you on Monday. So have a good weekend. And like I said, don't forget about my injury update video on YouTube on Saturday. So check that out. All right. So take care and have a good weekend. We'll see you on Monday.